You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX audio service for May 1989. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey. Let's step right up to the front page of DX News, the magazine of the National Radio Club. Well, we have another full edition of the DX audio service, mainly because of our fully packed edition on the April Fool's edition. Boy, I'd say we had a lot of material, didn't we? And some funny stuff, I have to admit. And speaking of funny stuff, I shouldn't say just funny stuff. There's going to be some interesting things on this edition of the DX Audio Service, because we have a special edition with Phil Wayne on his Market Scope, which we're going to call the Stars of the DX Audio Service. That's some of the editors and some of the membership of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. You'll have to actually hear them right here on the Market Scope column on the DX Audio Service. Right now, I'd like to let you know about a few changes from our friends on the shortwave side. From Radio Netherlands comes word that effective the 26th of March 1989 to 24 September of 1989, the following English language broadcasts are available. From 030 to 0125 UTC, the English language broadcast to North America East Coast will be on the following frequencies of 6020 and 15315. To North America, center part of North America, on 6165. Also, you can hear English language broadcasts on 0330 to 0425 UTC. North American West Service to 9590 and 6165. Also, from 0430 to 0455, you can hear the Mideast and East African service of Radio Netherlands, and their English language broadcast will be on a frequency of 13700 and 9895. And we say to Mideast, East African, but it's not impossible to hear the English language service to this particular part of the country. Finally, to New Zealand and Australia, the English language broadcast at 0730 to 0825 will be heard on 9715 and 9630. From our friends down at HCJB in Quito, Ecuador, comes word that they have a few frequency changes to North America. The broadcast from 1600 to 1630 UTC, you can add the frequency of 15115 kHz. At 030 to 0130 UTC, 11910 changes to 15250 kHz. The European service at 0645 to 0830 UTC, you can drop the frequency of 6080. And also, 9655 changes to 9610. From 1900 UTC to 2200 UTC, you can add the frequency of 21470 kHz. Now, hopefully we'll all stay in tune and be able to hear some nice shortwave broadcasts from HCJB and Radio Netherlands. Well, we had some very interesting, to say the least, DX audio service on the April edition, some interesting bloopers, and as I said, we're going to have a special edition of Market Scope on this edition of the DX audio
and
service.
Fred, I don't think we should let the moment pass without thanking John McCann. He gave us the best line of the day, and I don't think a lot of people caught it when he was mentioning about the W calls in Utah.
Yeah.
In fact, we did tell you, didn't we, that there was a W call sign change. But see, we do that to keep you guys on your toes. But that was in the April edition, so what can I say?
Yeah, and we've got two editions of the AM switch from Jerry Starr, basically because Jerry's neighbor Buffalo K. Foonman, decided to turn the old warp factor machine on Jerry and just biffed him into oblivion. So we've got both the April and the May edition of AM switch here on the DX audio service. And, well, speaking of Jerry, let's get to the April edition right now.
Well, thanks, Fred, and a happy April Fool's to you, too. Although right now it's time to get down to the business of the No Foolin' For Real edition of AM Switch. This is Jerry Starr from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News, directly from the pages, which is probably why I appear so flat. We only have two editions of AM Switch for this month's tape because we must confess we just couldn't stand any more winter in Ohio, and so we went and spent a couple weeks in the 85-degree beaches of Florida, and in the interim did not do two editions of AM Switch. However, The two editions we do have for you here will catch you up on all of that because there is no information missing. It is simply condensed into two instead of four. And I don't apologize for going to Florida either, by the way. Let's start with edition number 201. Call letter changes, a whole bunch of these piled up on the AM switch desk whilst we were gone. Starting down at the very bottom end of the dial on 540 KJCC, Carmel Valley, California. Changes to KPUP. 600 KESR, Independence, California, becomes KNYO. 630 KKPL, Opportunity, Washington, changes to KHDL. On 690 KEYR, Tarrytown, Nebraska, becomes KOAQ. 710 KBPI, Denver, changes to KBXG. On 730 KLPF, Lake Placid, Florida, becomes WWTK. 750, new station, Carson City, Nevada, will be KKNK. 810, new station in Dublin, Virginia, will be WKNV. 830, KFXX, Tucson, Arizona, goes back to their former call of KFLT. 920, WGST, Atlanta, Georgia, will become WAFS. This will take effect as soon as WGST moves their operations to 640. When that's going to happen, we're not certain. 950, KJJO, St. Louis Park, Minnesota, becomes KZOW. 960, WSBY, Salisbury, Maryland, becomes WLVW. Two changes on 980 KMJJ, Shreveport, Louisiana, becomes KICJ. And CKGM, Montreal, Quebec, becomes CHTX. 1030 WBDX, White Bluff, Tennessee, changes to WJKZ. 1050 WUKQ, New York, New York, becomes WEVD. 1070 WOAM, Elkton, Kentucky, changes to WEKT. On 1150, KPLS, Santa Rosa, California, becomes KVRE. On 1160, WFEN, Fenton, Michigan, finally becomes WACY. They applied for that call change once before, didn't get the call changed in time, and the permission ran out, so they had to reapply to the FCC, and they are now WACY. 1190, KPZE, Anaheim, California, becomes KORG. Three new calls on 1200, WAYD, Ozark, Alabama, becomes WFSF. New station in Virginia City, Nevada, will be KDXA. New station in Atlantic Beach, North Carolina, will be WBYY. On 1240, WLCF, Eustis, Florida, changes to WWLB. Also 1240, new station in South Haven, Mississippi, will be WAVN. 1260 KDFX, Huntington, Texas. They decided not to use that call. They remain with their old call of KAFX. 1320 WANI, Richmond, Virginia, station that had been silent. They're back on the air, but they are now WLEE. On 1330 KRKR in Lafayette, Louisiana. And I've talked to a fellow on ham radio who says it's not Lafayette, it's Lafayette, Louisiana. KRKR becomes KVOL. Also on 1330, WRIE, Erie, Pennsylvania, becomes WEYZ as that call moves down from 1450. We'll take care of that in just a second when we get to 1450. On 1340, new station in Madbury, New Hampshire, will be WWNH. 1380, WFLK, Naugatuck, Connecticut, goes back to a former call, WNAQ. 1400, KCZN, Santa Paula, California, becomes KZTR. 1430 KFNI, Fresno, California, goes back to KFIG. As a matter of fact, they never used KFNI. They applied for that and then set it aside. This next call change is also the same story. 1450 WWKY, Sarasota, Florida. They asked for that call, then never used it, and they remain with their old call, WSPB. Also on 1450, WCKZ, Gastonia, North Carolina, becomes WBIG. We didn't think that call letter would be hanging around too long before somebody snapped it up. 1450 also, WEYZ, Erie, Pennsylvania, becomes WPSE. The owners of WEYZ bought the properties of WRIE 1330 and moved their programming there. We covered that call letter change just a little bit ago. They have sold the 1450 facility to Penn State University, who will operate it under the call WPSE. 1460 WPNX, Phoenix City, Alabama, becomes WIQN. 1480 WLEE, Richmond, Virginia. We mentioned earlier this station was silent on 1480. They moved their call and their programming to 1320, which was also silent. Put that back on the air. 1480 is applying for the new call of WJRW, so that silent station may reappear soon with that new call letter. 1490 KRYN, Manitou Springs, Colorado, becomes KXRE. Also, 1490 WSDC, Hartsville, South Carolina, changes to WTNI. 1560 WSDL, Slidell, Louisiana, becomes WSLA. 1570 WKOL, Amsterdam, New York, changes to WFHN. And finally, two changes on 1600 WSNX in Muskegon, Michigan, becomes WSNZ. And WZMM, Wheeling, West Virginia, changes to WBBD. Applications for new stations in edition number 201, there were several, on 820, Paw Creek, North Carolina, 870, Springfield, Missouri, 1190, Odessa, Florida, 1200, Micanopy, Florida, also on 1200, Thanatosasa, Florida. The Thanatosasa application may sound strange to you because you're saying, but Jerry, there's already a station in Thanatosasa on 1200. Well, there was a CP there. As a matter of fact, it was even granted calls, WFLZ, but that CP expired. The station was never built, and so someone else is applying for that same facility. By the way, you can cross off WFLZ from your log. Couple applications of interest on 890, WBMA in Dedham, Massachusetts, wants to move their city of license to Sherbourne, Massachusetts. By the way, that's a CP for a new station that is not yet on the air. Highlights from grants to existing facilities on 800 KHIS, Bakersfield, California. They go full-time by adding 500 watts at night, change their antenna to U4. 1050 WJSB, Crestview, Florida, goes full-time by adding 500 watts at night, change their antenna to U1. And on 1570, KTGE, Salinas, California, adds 500 watts at night to go full-time. You can change their antenna to U4. And scanning down through the otherness column, a lot of interesting little tidbits from the world of broadcasting on 650 KORL, Honolulu, Hawaii. Previously reported to be back on the air. However, our correspondent in Honolulu says they are still silent, so keep KORL on the silent list. On 810 WAWB, Hahira, Georgia, new station, this is on the air. On 1200 WMXA, the new station in Chicago, Illinois, their nine-tower antenna system is now up, and testing is expected to begin soon. On 1230 KKGR, Gresham, Oregon, this silent station is now back on the air with these new calls. They used to be KRDR when they were silent. On 1270 WWES, Hot Springs, Virginia, new station is on the air. Country format, by the way. 1290 KLVS, Lake Oswego, Oregon, the West Coast Elvis station. Didn't work, evidently. The station has gone silent. 1300 WCER, Huntington, Indiana. This station is silent once again. 1340 KQIL, Grand Junction, Colorado. The station is still on 1340. There's been a lot of discussion as to whether or not they ever moved to 1370. They did have a CP to do that. We finally contacted the manager at the station. He says that they did not move to 1370 and have no intention of doing so. As a matter of fact, they dropped the 1370 construction permit when they applied to move to 880. That, by the way, is still an application. So for the moment, KQIL, Grand Junction, Colorado, still on 1340. You might want to make that change in your log. The log lists them as 1370. By the way, they are a kilowatt day and night. The antenna is U1. 1380 WMPS, Millington, Tennessee. Station is silent. 1550 WORI, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This station is silent but has just been sold and is expected to return to the air soon. 1560 KFRS, Sumner, Washington. Station is silent. 1580 WEBG, Ebensburg, Pennsylvania is silent. And on 1590 WWCC, Honesdale, Pennsylvania. They were silent under the call WDNH. They are now back on the air. And if I can get it off the desk here, we go to edition number 202 of AM Switch. This will be the final one for this month's tape. Under call letter changes on 720, new station in Templeton, California will be KGVV. 790 WVEZ, Louisville, Kentucky, changes to WWKY. 910 WTGE, Baton Rouge, Red Stick, Louisiana, changes to WNDC. 980 WGVT, Rossville, Georgia, becomes WLMX. On 1050, KNXX in Los Ranchos de Albuquerque, New Mexico, changes to KMBA. 1200, new station in Taylor, Michigan, will be WBTI. On 1220, KLIP, Fowler, California, becomes KRGO. Also 1220, WERT, Van Wert, Ohio, changes to WKSD. By the way, that was one of only three stations in the country whose call letters also spelled their city name. You know what the other two are? WACO in Waco, Texas, and WARE in Ware, Massachusetts. Thought we'd drop a little trivia in the middle of the changes. Back to the stuff that means something. On 1270, new station in Fairhaven, Massachusetts becomes WEDD. 1380, WNAQ, Naugatuck, Connecticut. Well, they kept those calls for about a day or so and then changed to WFNW. On 1490, WCKC, Milton, Florida becomes WECM. 1500, WKRP, Dallas, Georgia. Have no idea why they want to change calls, but they are. They're changing to WDPC. 1520, WINW, Canton, Ohio becomes WRQK. And two changes on 1570. These are both new stations with new calls. Athens, Ohio will be WLVZ, and Elk Hills, West Virginia will be WMSP. Of course, you're saying, but there is no station in Elk Hills, West Virginia. Well, let's take care of that nagging little problem right now. Here are grants for new stations. 880, Dayton, Virginia will be 1,000 watts D3. And 1570, Elk Hills, West Virginia, 800 day, 250 night, the antenna will be U1. Looking at applications from existing facilities, here are a couple interesting highlights, especially on 590, where WAFC, Clewiston, Florida, wants to raise their day and night power to 5,000 watts and wants to move their city of license to Cape Coral, Florida. Now, this isn't just a jump from one suburb to another. Cape Coral, Florida, which is right outside Fort Myers, is about 70 miles away from Clewiston, Florida. So, in other words, what they want to do is pick the whole station up and move it over to a bigger market. On 730, WJTO, Bath, Maine, they'd like to go full-time by adding 500 watts at night. And on 1590, KELP, El Paso, Texas, wants to go full-time. They do have a grant for a very low night power. They'd like to officially go full-time, though, with 500 watts at night. Grants to existing facilities. Only thing really of interest is on 980, where CHTX in Montreal will be moving to 990 kilohertz. Their power will be 50,000 watts. The antenna will be U4. And finally, scanning down through otherness in number 202 on 910 WORD, Spartanburg, South Carolina. Station is silent, but is expected to be back on the air soon. On 1010 KKGZ, Brush, Colorado. This station is also silent, but has been sold. The new owners are expected to put it back on the air very soon. On 1040 WJTB, North Ridgeville, Ohio. This station had a fire in their studios and was silent for several days. They established a new studio site, returned to the air, and in less than a week had another fire which totally destroyed all their equipment. This time they were off the air for several weeks, but once again, like the phoenix rising from the ashes, WJTB, North Ridgeville, Ohio, is back on the air. At least as of today they are. On 1070, KWSA, West Klamath, Oregon, new station on the air. 1220 KBET, Canyon Country, California. Target date for this new station was released as being the 1st of March, 1989. So by the time this reaches you, if everything went according to schedule, they should already be on the air. We'd be interested if there's a member in that area that can check that information for us. Here's something strange on 1290 WGLI, Babylon, New York, out on Long Island. This station has been bought by the people who own WADO in New York on 1280, right next door, just 10 KCs down. The new owners have announced plans to take KGLI off the air. In other words, they bought the station so they could take it off the air to avoid interference they have been causing to WADO on 1280. This move evidently has the blessings of the FCC, by the way, and this certainly would be a precedent-setting move. On 1450, WJBX, Bridgeport, Connecticut, station is silent but is expected to return to the air soon with a Spanish format. On 1540 WZAL, McDonough, Georgia, their move to 1410 kilohertz expected to take place on April the 3rd, so it should have already happened by the time this reaches you. And finally, on 1600 WWBR, Harriman, Tennessee, despite several reports to the contrary in the DX News, this station has not gone back on the air. It is still silent. We contacted the owners, and they say they have no plans to return it to the air. So WWBR 1600 Harriman, Tennessee, is silent and looks like it will remain that way. That's about it for this edition of AM Switch. We'd like to say a special hello to several people who contributed items to the columns who get their information right here on the DX Audio Service, to Randy Herndon and to also our buddy Dana Yeomans down in Griffin, Georgia. Thanks for the information and the input. Remember, if you have any information that would fit right in the pages of AM Switch, be sure to send them along. We'll give you our address, although I know it's appeared somewhere else on the tape here, but we'll do that anyway. The name is Jerry Starr. The address is in care of WHOT Radio, 4040 Simon Road, at Youngstown, Ohio, 44512. That's about it. Let's see what Fred's up to. Fred?
Thank you very much, Jerry. And John and I are just chatting here about our trivia question. And if you have an answer to this, you might want to give us a call on the action line and give us the answer. John, what you got?
Well, Fred, we'll give him a couple of answers first, because last month in the trivia question, we asked what second letter was the least used in the K calls and the W calls for broadcasting stations in the United States. And that was kind of a simple throwaway question, perhaps, but for the Ks, the letter Y as a second letter is the least used. I was rather surprised at that, because you can get so much mileage out of letter Y if you want to in a call sign, like, you know, yes, and things like that. And for the Ws, the second letter, least frequently used of the alphabet, is the letter U. And for both of them, the letter Z is the second least used, so I don't know. Well, now, the trivia question for this month, though, is going to be a little bit different, because you know, Fred, how my wife and I like to drive around in a motorhome, and someday we're going to get you into one of these too, fella, you and Debbie and the whole family, let me put it that way. But we were driving along I-64, I won't even tell you when, but it was during the standard time period of the year. And, you know, the way you go on a motorhome when you're on vacation, you drive 50 miles and you pull over and you drive another 100 miles maybe the next day and you pull over and you sightsee and you don't care where you are. And in fact, that's the basis of this question. I'm not even going to tell you where I-64 is, but I will tell you we're driving from east to west. That doesn't help a heck of a lot, I guess. And we were driving through some hills and woods and things like that. And on this particular evening, we pulled over at a little campsite, and the campsite was like Pine Woods campsite or something. Didn't help us at all. And just as I went to bed, we were both kind of dog-tired. We'd walked out in the woods and all that. As I was just pulling down the shade in the bedroom of our motorhome, I noticed a blinking radio tower out the window. And blinking is not a British form of swearing. I mean, it was blinking red on and off, yeah. And it occurred to me, hey, I wonder what that is. And frankly, I was so bushed, I went to sleep and didn't worry about it. But as we had been just having a snack and all that, we had the radio on. And it's just an analog radio, not a digital one, so you never quite know where they're tuned. And I really didn't have my mind on broadcasting, which is rare for me. But I noticed that there was a station coming in pretty well, around 590, 580, 600, right in there somewhere. And another one that was coming in very nicely, at least the only other one that I noticed down at the low end of the dial, was around 640, 630. Somewhere down around there. And as I was tuning up the dial, and of course I have an S meter on the radio, and I noticed that it was, with our outside antenna, that the signal from WJR and the signal from WSB were equal. So that told me, because of the antenna system that you know I have, that the signals were equal, and that meant we were halfway between the two stations, those two particular. So that's another clue as to where we were. But I'd like our subscribers, if they'd like to call in on the action line, we will mention their names in all their glory as getting it right. I'd like them to tell me where I was. And here's the only other clue. As I had been tuning up and down the radio, I don't know, I must have fallen asleep, because I left the radio on all night, and it turned out it was on 1150 or 1160 right there, and I was awakened at 5 o'clock the next morning with the Star Spangled Banner. Where was I? That's trivia question for this month, Fred.
Okay, John, and I guess we'll all have to put on our thinking caps so we can figure out where John Bowker was hiding in Rue.
Greetings, DX Audio Service members. Time once again for a look at the radio ratings report. I'm Lauren McCusker, bringing you the latest from the numbers front. Our last report contained ratings for the top 100 markets for last spring and summer, mostly taken from the Birch rating service, with a bit of Arbitron thrown in, as that's what I had on hand at the time. Well, this time I have some results from both services covering the same rating period last summer and fall for the same several markets. I've always noticed discrepancies between the results each company gets polling the same market at the same time, and this time there's certainly no exception. So now to compare the results of the two rating services and try to figure out exactly what these guys are trying to say. Now let's take the Hartford market first. The top two spots are held by WTIC, AM and FM in both books. However, they're switched around with the FM on top, according to Birch, while Arbitron has TIC AM as number one. From there, you can pick your favorite rating service according to which station is your favorite. If you like WRCH, you'll prefer Arbitron, as they have the beautiful music station at number 3. However, over at Birch, WRCH could do no better than number 7. The number 3 spot at Birch is held by AORWHCN, which is likewise number 7 if you listen to Arbitron. The ratings numbers are also a bit confusing, with News WPOP peaking in summer with a 2-3 share, according to Birch, yet Arbitron had them doing a little bit better with a 3 share for the same time period. Even more mystifying is the Buffalo Niagara Falls market in New York. Arbitron claims adult contemporary WBENAM is on top with a fall share of 10-8. Over at Birch, they do no better than a 7.1 share, taking the number 6 spot instead of number 1. Birch has CHRWKSE in the top position, while Arbitron has them down at number 4. Both companies agree, though, that legendary WWKB has seen better days. Arbitron ranks them at number 13, and at Birch, they're ranked at number 17. Now, what do these numbers mean? That's the question. Never having worked for a radio rating service, I can only guess what's going on in the alleged minds of these guys when they go through these numbers. But ultimately, the people who benefit from these wacky results most are salespeople. Think about it. With enough different rating services, enough ways to break down the information, everybody can be number one in some capacity. For example, take the fall ratings for Albany that came out recently. WROW was on top, but it's the only easy listening station in the market, so lower rated stations of other formats are also claiming to be number one. For example, WPYX, the number 2 rated station overall, is claiming to be number one since they're the top rated AOR. Number 4, WFLY, the top-rated CHR, is also claiming to be number 1 because they're the top-rated CHR, so although they're number 4, they're still number 1, really. And WKLI, K-Lite 101, although rated number 6 overall, is the number 1 AC, so they're also calling themselves number 1. And, of course, we're really number 1, so we're also calling ourselves number 1. So there you have 4 stations in the same market at the same time, all calling themselves number 1. Now, really, basically, all these stations are number one. They're all number one in their own formats and in their own ways. So it really depends on how you look at the statistics. So all a salesperson has to do is look at the right numbers from the right rating service in the right way, and they can go out on the street and sell the number one station. So keep that in mind while you look at ratings information for both radio and TV. They need to be looked at carefully and skeptically, need I add that. Remember, if you have any input for the radio ratings column for the DX Audio Service, you can drop me a line. Laura McCusker, that's M-C-C-U-S-K-E-R, at WROW Radio, 341 Northern Boulevard, Albany, New York, 12204. Until next time, good DX to all.
Hello, DXers. This is Ken Onischuk in Country Club Hills, Illinois, just outside Chicago, with the 1989 radio TV lineups for Major League Baseball. And to start out with the Baltimore Orioles, managed this year by Frank Robinson. Their games will be broadcast on 1090 WBAL with John Miller and Joe Angel, and televised free on Channel 2 WMAR with Brooks Robinson, Jim Palmer. And on cable, Home Team Sports with Mel Proctor, Rex Barney, and John Lowenstein. The Boston Red Sox will be managed by Joe Morgan, And their games will be broadcast on 1390 WPLM out of Plymouth and on 680 WRKO with Ken Coleman and Joe Castiglione. Those who have trouble picking it up elsewhere in the country can try for WTIC on 1080 out of Hartford, where the signal comes out much stronger to the rest of the country. The Cleveland Indians, managed by Doc Edwards, and their games will be broadcast on 1100 WWWE with Herb Score and newcomer Paul Olden, and on TV, channel 43 WUAB with Jack Corrigan and Mike Hegan. And the Indians' signal is no trouble getting out whatsoever at night all over the country. The Detroit Tigers will be managed by Sparky Anderson, and their games will be broadcast on 760 WJR with Ernie Harwell and Paul Carey. And those with some difficulty can also pick up 590 WKZO Kalamazoo, 930 WBCA Battle Creek, or 790 WSGW in Saginaw. And their games will be broadcast on Channel 4 WDIV with George Kell, Al Kaline, and the cable network Pro-Am Sports. Larry Osterman and Jim Northrup will do the play-by-play duties. The Milwaukee Brewers this year will be managed by Tom Treblehorn and broadcast on Clear Channel, you might as well say, 620 WTMJ with Bob Uecker and Pat Hughes. And on television, a new station, we'll do the games, Channel 24, WCGV, with Jim Paschke and Pete Vukovich. WTMJ has no problem with their coverage area getting out to the Midwest. The New York Yankees this year will be managed by Dallas Green, and the games will be broadcast on 770 WABC with John Sterling and Jay Johnstone, and televised free on Channel 11, WPIX, with Phil Rizzuto, George Grandy, and Tom Seaver. And on cable TV on the Madison Square Garden Network with Mercer, Greg Gumbel, Tommy Hutton, and Lou Piniella doing the play-by-play. The Toronto Blue Jays this year, managed by Jimmy Williams, and broadcast their games on 1430 CJCL with Tom Cheek and Jerry Howarth, and televised free on Channel 9 CFTO with Tony Kubek, Don Chevier, and Fergie Oliver. Cable on the Sports Network with Oliver and Buck Martinez. The American League West preview, the California Angels, will be managed by Doug Rader, and their games broadcast on 710 KMPC with Al Conan and Ken Brett, and in Spanish on XPRS with Cos Villa and Ruben Valentin, and on Channel 5 Free KTLA. Announced by Bob Starr and Joe Torre, and on the Z-Channel cable with Joe Torre and Joel Myers. My local team, the Chicago White Sox, will be broadcast on WMAQ 670 with John Rooney and Wayne Hagen, and on TV, Channel 32, WFLD, Fox 32, with Gary Thorne and Tom Pachorik. And cable is the new name, Sports Channel Chicago, with the same crew. And they're managed by Jeff Torborg, and WMAQ goes everywhere. Kansas City Royals will be managed by John Wathan in his second year at the helm, and will be broadcast on two area stations. The flagship is 580 WIBW in Topeka, and the Kansas City outlet is 980 KMBZ, and broadcast by Denny Matthews and Fred White. Local TV on Channel 4, WDAF, with Denny Treese and Paul Splittorff. The Minnesota Twins this year will be managed by Tom Kelly and broadcast on WCCO AM 830 with Herb Carneal and John Gordon, and TV Channel 4 with Ted Robinson and Jim Cott. Cable on Midwest Sports Channel with Jim Cott and Dick Bremer. The American League champion Oakland A's will be managed by Tony La Russa, and their games broadcast on 560 KSFO with Bill King and Lon Simmons and Ray Fosse. And the TV lineup, Channel 5, KPIX, will do the honors with Monty Moore and Ray Fosse doing play-by-play. And in the Pacific Northwest, it's the Seattle Mariners, managed by rookie manager Jim Lefebvre, ex-Dodger, and broadcast on 710 KIRO with Rick Riz, Dave Niehaus, and Joe Simpson. And TV on Channel 7, Cairo, And a case for conflict, Channel 22, KTZZ, with Riz, Niehaus, and Simpson. And finally, the Texas Rangers, managed by Bobby Valentine, have their games broadcast on 820 WBAP with Mark Holtz and Eric Nadel. And TV on Channel 11, KTVT, with Bob Carpenter, Steve Busby. Cable is Home Sports Entertainment with Merle Harmon, Norm Hitzges, and Carpenter also. And hope you enjoyed it. Now let's go out and listen and watch and enjoy baseball.
And let's see, it's time for the travelogue, you say. Okay, well, let's do the 1580 tape. Now, this is a very interesting channel because it's a Canadian Clear channel. And there's only one Canadian Clear channel station on it, CBJ up in Chicoutimi. That's up in the far northeast. The Canadians did a lot of military research up there during World War II. And I have never tape recorded CBJ in Chicoutimi. I'm not even sure I really ever heard it, to be honest with you. My logbook doesn't show it. The one I started in the mid-40s, I don't show Chicoutimi at all. But it's a big, powerful station, and I'd love to get it on tape someday, and maybe in my mobile home I will take my wife for a little tour up that way sometime. But let's go. Oh, there's another station I'm missing, and my son John is going to kill me for this one. 1580 in South Bend we don't have on tape. I can't understand it. I've been through that town so many times, but I didn't realize it until it was too late. We're going to organize it a little differently this time. The tape is in order of geographics. We start on Long Island, which is our easternmost station, and we're going to progress more and more westward and southward as we go across the country, listening to stations at 1580. And by the way, if you like this form of presentation, be sure to let us know, and we'll do it on the following tapes, too, just to keep things nice and orderly. What do you say we start in 1972? With the station in Patchogue, New York at 1580. Here we go.
Serving 3 million Long Islanders with 10,000 watts at 1580, WPAC, Patchogue, New York.
And now we go up to 1976. Same dial position, same station.
Hello, this is Johnny Paycheck inviting you to listen to WSUF for a great country sound.
WSUF, Patchogue.
Okay, Johnny Paycheck would never get it. That was WSUF. I don't think I could say it quite the way Johnny Paycheck said it. Now, they've changed call signs again, and here was a recording made in 1987.
At 1580 in AM stereo, WLIN Patchogue is Long Island music and news.
Good morning, 58 degrees at 11 o'clock. This is WLIN News. I'm Ken Bouton.
Okay, so now what you do is leave Long Island and come into New York City and go out I-80 and turn south on New Jersey Route 31. And you come to a most interesting building as you head south. It's on your right, a little white building that used to be, I'm sure, like a three-bedroom home with 2.5 baths or so. But one wall has been taken out and replaced with a huge plate glass window. And when you drive by it, you look in the window and you see the announcer say,
New Jersey Memory, WCRB, Washington.
32 degrees.
158. Now, that's a very clever announcer, I must admit, that can do that. But anyway, he was playing those cards. You look right in on the control room at WCRV, except for two things. One, about 4 or 5 years ago, WCRV changed its call sign, changed to WSRR 1580. Listen.
County in the beautiful Skylands region of New Jersey. This is the AM voice of Northwest New Jersey, WSRR Washington.
1808 News. I'm Nancy Lyons. The environment and trade will be the focus of talks beginning today between President Reagan and Canada's Prime Minister, Brian.
Serving the heart of South Jersey from Hamilton, this is 1580 Radio WNJH.
Used to hear that. You don't hear that anymore. That was recorded in 1974.
Station first in sports, up-to-date local news, and the best in music, old and new. It's 1580 AM, WRDI, Hamilton, New Jersey.
And would you believe it? About 2 weeks ago, as you hear this, it'll be about 5 weeks ago, I went to Hamilton because they have a new call sign down there now and have had for several years, and this is it. Except it isn't much of an ID, but here it is.
Hi, please set to join me every Sunday morning starting at 10 a.m. for the Italian program, where I have Italian news, Italian soccer games, and all your favorite Italian music at 1580 WTYO Hamilton, where your friends are.
WHEX, Columbia.
This is WNZT Columbia. It's 12 noon. UPI Radio News is next, and more with Sonny Block.
You know, UPI Radio News, I'm Craig Smith. Sorry about that. WHEX in Columbia, Pennsylvania was such a wonderful call sign because that's heavily Amish country, and they are a superstitious lot. And it's worked out for them very well over the years. But WHEX, I always thought was so swell. And then that station failed, and some new owners came in and called it WNZT. I wonder why. Let's go way out western Pennsylvania now. 1580 on the dial.
Well, it's time to remind you that you're tuned to WANB in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, 1580 on your dial, the voice of Greene County.
All right, Mr. Greene County, thank you, sir. And now if we backtrack a little bit, go down I-70 to the city of Washington, D.C., we get a call sign that doesn't come from Washington, but it really does. It's an immediate suburb of the district.
This is WPGC AM Morningside, Business Radio 1580, serving Washington as the only all-business and financial information station. Business Radio 1580 News Time, 1 o'clock.
AP Network News. I'm Nancy Lyon.
Listening to Breakfast with the Beatles, an exclusive presentation of WSRF Fort Lauderdale. Surf 16.
The following program will be interrupted for any important war bulletins.
Let's go up through Tennessee on our way up to Ohio.
WSJT, Knoxville weather.
I got a little bit of flutter in that, but that's Knoxville, and I wish I had a complete legal ID other than that, but we don't. Okay, we move along now to the state capital of Ohio.
This is WBKO in Columbus, Ohio.
All right, and let's see, from the Hoosier State.
WCNB AM and FM, Connersville, Indiana. For another WCNB Radio News Report. And now to the Communications Center.
That's the Sonny James sound of country music here on WCCR Radio 1580 on your dial in Urbana, Illinois.
You've discovered pure gold.
Okay, you know what it is? Okay, well, if you knew it, WKKD. The call sign. It's tough to pick out from that one, I must admit. Let's move due west now, across the Mississippi, to the Quad Cities.
5 o'clock, right on the button, right here in Quad City Town. KWMT, Davenport, Iowa.
That's all we have from KWMT.
Is KTGR, Columbia's station. It's 11 o'clock, time for news from the CBS Radio Network.
News. I'm Bill Whitney.
And this is radio station KBYP in Shamrock, Texas, located at 1580 on your radio dial.
In Albuquerque.
These are all 1580, and to wrap it up for us, we move just one step further west to the Valley of the Salt River.
Low expected about 60 degrees tonight for Arizona country with fair skies and continued mostly sunny tomorrow. Breezy and high right about 85. Right now, Sky Harbor reporting an official 73. It's also 73 here at KNIX FM Phoenix and KNIX Tempe Phoenix. My name's Andy Fuller. Another weekend gone for me, and I'll be back again next Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned. John Michaels has at least 50 minutes of music for you this hour and every hour all night long. We'll start this one off with Mel McDaniel on KNIX.
That KNIX break was recorded by a fellow named Bob Jadruziak, Trenton, New Jersey, in the first week of April of 1989. And I give him special credit verbally at least, because he's one of my students in the broadcast technology class and regulatory class that I teach at Mercer County College in New Jersey. So thank you, Bob, very much for that. We're going to get him as a subscriber to this DX audio service by hook or by crook, or by virtue of giving him a good grade, maybe something like that. Let's see, just before I part, Fred, I'd like to say hi to Terry, one of our new subscribers who called in on the action line, and just to react to her phone call, and that is she said that she's getting around to the more serious sides of DXing. Oh, Terry, don't do that. There is no serious side to DXing. It's pure fun and a terrific education in geography and a little bit in science, too, as you learn how radio stations operate. So do enjoy. Fred, back to you.
Thank you very much, John. And on part two of the DX audio service, we have another issue of Jerry Starr's AM Switch and a whole lot more, so stay tuned to your DX audio service.